Okay, I'd like to apologize. This is just like being at the Christian home. I'm off visiting and I'm not doing my services. So, good morning. According to the weather guys, we are in the middle of July and we are in the middle of summer. And it appears most of you have survived the roller coaster weather that we've been having. Though it does look like the fireside room might not have. So, if you are inclined, I believe the building fund could use a little stuff. And if you have any questions, I believe Dewey can gladly help you understand what is happening up there, though we have kind of asked him to stop climbing up on the roof because he occasionally runs into things that he shouldn't when he comes down. And you're fine now, right? Dewey, you're okay? Okay. Speaking of people who are okay, I just ran into Paul Hartel. He's actually here. Both legs are on, so that's gone well. You have seen the announcements. The 26th, that should be something special. I know the parents and the bride have been working on this for quite a long time and are quite frazzled, and they will be so happy on the 27th. Please sign up for the Brat Fry. That is always a great thing to do. It is fun to be a fryer. It is fun to go and eat. Thank you for all who did show up at the Christian home, especially our care team. It was nice to see a bunch of new friends and old friends. And one of the ladies who is going to hate me right now that showed up there is celebrating another trip around the world. Winnie his birthday today. So I have heard you all from up here several times. I think we can do this a cappella. And remember the how old are you? Don't do. We don't do that to a dignified woman. But I think we should do a round of happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Winnie. Happy birthday to you. And those that can't see, she is grinning from ear to ear. I think I'm safe. So, I have spit out quite a few announcements. Do you folks have anything to add? Okay. I am going to save you all some trouble, because I have been part of the yo-yo too. I'm going to ask you to share the passing of the peace. And when you are done sharing the peace, don't sit down. Stay standing if you are able, and then we'll go into the call to worship and the morning prayer. So go amongst each other and say hi. Good morning. Thank you for singing when I had to get up. I appreciate it. Good morning, sir. Druggy. Hi, morning. I didn't. Oh, the fireside room where our fireplace is?
Yeah.
That leaked bad. The carpeting is almost ruined. That's what I was saying. Good morning, strangers. Nice choice of colors of shirts.
Fountain of all wisdom. Have compassion on our weakness. But help us to know that through Christ we have a chance for love and grace. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty and blessings of this summer season. We thank you for the warmth of the sun, the vibrant colors of nature, and the opportunity to gather together in this place. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, guiding our thoughts, words, and actions. May our hearts be open to your presence, and may this be a time of connection with you and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
So it looks almost like the same as the other Sundays, but we shall ask, there is going to be a brave little one? You just made my day. Does Mom want to come up too? Okay. I asked Mom, but she's scared. Yeah. So how are you? Good. Does Mom ever tell you stories? What kind? Princess stories. Good work, Mom. Are there princes in there too? Is there kissing? No? Oh, Princess and the Frog. How about dragons? Oh, you only get the good stories. How does it make you feel when Mom tells you your princess stories? Good. Does it help you understand things? Yeah. That's a gift of stories, isn't it? It's a way of telling us how to do things and how things happen in a way we understand. Right? Yeah. You know, Jesus did that a lot in the Bible. And you have a loose tooth? Oh, it's not one of the front ones, is it? Oh, it is the front one. You'll be able to whistle and spit watermelon seeds that way. Oh, she eats watermelon seeds. You don't have to spit them out. Well, that's good. So is your summer been good? Is mom telling more stories all the time because you're together a lot? Oh, good. Well, later on, I'm going to try to see if, you know, those tall people out there, I can tell them about stories and see if they can understand. You think they'll understand? Oh, good. You have faith. Should we say a prayer together and I'll say something and you can repeat it and maybe they'll all repeat it with us? Okay. Why don't we all fold our hands and say together, thank you, Jesus, for giving us the ability to listen. Yes, the ability to listen. To wonderful stories. And to be opening our eyes in seeing things that we have never seen. Be with us at all times.
Be with us at all.
As we go on. The story of our own lives. Amen. Thank you so much for being brave. You should give a little of that courage to mom. Okay? Maybe we can get her up here next time. So why don't you go back to her and we'll keep on going. Jacob, if you watch this one, I had a little one. So why don't we all join and rise if you are able in hymn 550, We Are the Church. It's in the hymnals. It'll be on the screen. Just please sing along.
Our scripture today is from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 13. That day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down beside the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he climbed into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd was standing on the shore. He said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. And in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. Jesus' disciples came and said to him, "Why do you use parables when you speak to the crowds?" Jesus replied, "Because they haven't received the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but you have. For those who have will receive more, and they will have more than enough. But as for those who don't have, even the little they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to the crowds in parables. Although they see, they don't really see. And although they hear, they don't really hear or understand." Here ends our reading for today. May God bless us as we try to learn from these words.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jane. And if you would allow me a moment of prayer for myself. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak, and that you have guided my thoughts and given me the words to say, words that will touch our hearts and change our minds. I pray that you would use this message to draw those who hear it closer and help us all grow in your faith. Amen. So, interesting reading today. Normally, I follow what's called a lectionary calendar, but our regular pastor decided to use today's worship yet last week. We were supposed to talk about Mary and Martha. And since Jacob took care of that, I decided to come up with something else. And the something else is something I've been wanting to do since about the second week I was in here and got a chance to talk to Mike Bausch in private. So let me use that as a preface as to what I'm about to say. Do you all know what a parable is? The verse kind of told us, and I kind of said stuff with our little person. They're stories or metaphors that Jesus would use to explain his ministry, to help humankind understand what he wants from them. Any good educator will tell you that a person is better to understand when you're trying to tell them things in the form that they're used to. If I were to speak now in either German or Gaelic, few of you would understand or even know that I was talking about a familiar worship story. So, you're wondering now, and I can tell by the looks on your faces, where is he going to go with this? Good question. I'm glad you all had it. And here's the answer. This whole building that we're in, and most of the churches that you attend, are filled with parables, are filled with learning tools, and the like. The entire building here helps us learn about God, the people that we are, and how we believe. And like I said, I wanted to do this for some Sundays, and congratulations, you guys got the Sunday. So it's going to be inclusive. You guys have to work at this a little. So if you have a flexible enough neck, just take a look up at the ceiling and kind of see what you see there. And doesn't it kind of look like we're in an upside-down ship? Yeah. The resemblance of a church's nave, or the main part of it, is like an upside-down boat. It's a symbolic connotation rooted in early Christian beliefs and architectural practices. Wikipedia the part of the internet that knows everything, says that it comes from the word nave, which comes from the word navis, similar to novice, meaning ship. This architectural feature symbolizes the church as a vessel of salvation, similar to Noah's Ark, protecting the faithful from the storms of the world. Now, a little side note that I learned in history, I don't know if it was church history or history, but many of our ancestors felt churches were so important that they actually did take the ship that brought them to their new home, and flipped it over and made it into their cathedrals and their chapels. And if you get a chance and you're a bit of a nerd and you get on Google Maps, look at the sky view, the satellite view. Several churches from an airplane from the sky have wings and et cetera so that they look like a cross. Now look to the front of the church, directly straight ahead, and what do you see there? Okay, nobody's yelling out things, that's fine. It's a cross. And it is just that, a cross. But it's not a crucifix. There's nobody attached to that cross. Why? Because this church believes in a resurrected Christ. Thus, Jesus isn't on the cross. He's with us. He's among us. He rose again, and he's still here. The wooden bench, what we commonly call an altar, really isn't an altar, but more a magnificent table for all. If we didn't have the other beautiful things that we have, we could probably even use that for communion. But that shows the gathering, the table, open to all. And if you notice the inscriptions, which I might be in front of, but the one on your left, Alpha, the one on your right, Omega, the beginning, the end, things that we've called Christ throughout the generations. And even the newer things in the church, the ramp, the railings, the hearing-assisted radios, all show that this church wants to be accessible to anyone, no matter who you are, no matter how you motor around, no matter if you're young, you're old. That says something about us as a people. And there are little things that you might not have even noticed. Take a look at the window frames, the dividers up here. Do you see them? There's crosses there. All different varieties. And I don't think that was an accident. They're symbols of Christianity, of our risen Savior. And even the colors on the cloths, they call them pyramids, on the lectionary, on the table. They're a specific color. If you notice, they change as we go throughout the years. The green is kind of what we call ordinary times, a time throughout the church where there's nothing major happening, no major holidays like Easter or Lent or the like. But they change with those times. Christmas, you'll see, or Advent, you'll see the white ones come out. Pentecost, you'll see the red ones come out. It tells you kind of what time of year it is. Another just hint. Each season and each religious holiday has a specific color, a specific meaning. And one of the most interesting ones I've saved for the end. Have you ever looked at our windows real closely? And no, I'm not going to talk just about the color. But if you notice there's some, what appear to be you guys over there, little defects, they're not defects. They're etchings. Etchings of Bible stories. Snake and fire. Farther down, the nativity scene. Just looking at the windows, we have Bible verses in this church. Such a unique thing. We don't have the big pictures made out of the stained glass. We have them embedded in the color, and they're going to be there forever. So if you ever have a chance or you're needing some time to think, just stare into the windows. Early years, there was another reason for the stained glass. A lot of the churchgoers could not read or write. They had a difficulty time of understanding. So the bright colors, the symbols, the pictures that were in there, they helped tell the story in a way that the congregation could understand. They couldn't read the literature, they couldn't read the Bible, but they could look at a picture. Kind of nowadays, the predecessor to your iPhone and your computer screen. We all use those pictures now to learn. And our ancestors used stained glass in the same way. And I know there's other significance that I have not even noticed, and probably some I'm not even aware of. We'll probably have to bring Mike back sometime to see some of all these hidden things. But what I love about this church is all by itself it tells a story, just by looking at it. You don't have to talk to the members, you don't have to read the literature, you just look at it. The bells out attached to the cross, three of them. Trinity, the name, Union-Congregational Church. That dash means something. We were a bunch of churches that came together to become one faith, one denomination. And we don't want to take away from any of our predecessors that came together. All these things, just by looking at our name, looking at the building, you know what kind of church you're coming to. A church where living God lives. A church of many people, of a wide variety, and a church that welcomes you no matter what. Think about the other churches you've been in this town, that you've been in your life. How many of them could you just walk in without hearing a word and know what you're walking into? And one other thing, where do you first walk into? The fellowship hall, a place to gather, a place to share stories. It just goes on and on and on. Such a great gift that we have here. The architecture here tugs at our hearts and emotions. And all together, all of this makes us truly someplace special. And I hope this brief little moment caused you to have a chance to look at things in your lives in different places. Things that you might have overlooked. And find out that there's a meaning there that you missed. And maybe that'll do something in your life and in the way you do things. Who really knows what knowledge you may gain? It's up to you. But isn't it always? So, being that I whipped up the service and really didn't look at an old service, I have a hymn placed here. I'm going to skip into the prayers, and we'll do the hymn after the prayers. Thank you for allowing me forgiveness. So why don't we all take a deep breath, enjoy the solitude, the quiet, the talking of a young child, and take a moment to pray in silence, releasing the thoughts that you have in your hearts and minds, that you just want to have a one-to-one talk with God, or things that you might not even want to say aloud. So let us all take a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Now is the time we usually share joys and concerns. And after each one that's announced, I'll say, God, in your mercy, and I would like you to respond with, receive our prayer. And we kind of have an obvious one that I already talked about. For those celebrating anniversaries, birthdays, or any wonderful, great significance on these days, God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. For the union of the Smiths and the DeYoungs, may your life be well blessed, and may you have everything that you are hoping for in the story that you are about to start. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Do you folks have anything? Don't be shy. I know we're all introverts. Sue up front has one.
They will.
Our oldest grandson, Brant Greenfield, who just graduated from CWC, is in an all-star baseball game at noon in Appleton at the Timber Rattlers Field. So we're excited for that.
To the oldest grandson's prowess in his physical sports, and may he play fairly and justly. And may he understand that if they don't win, winning's not everything. God, in your mercy, receive your prayer. Anybody else now that Sue was brave enough to start? All right, let us continue on. If you'd pray with me. Great and loving God, so often we come to you in a time of need. Forgive us for not remembering to show gratitude for all that you have done and for all that you continue to do for us. I'm truly scared to think of what this world would be without you in our lives. Please be with those who are in need, whether the need is physical, mental, or emotional. Please rest your hand on their shoulder and give them peace and comfort, and bless the families and caregivers of those who are in need and watch over them. Bless those who are not with us for whatever reason. Bless and protect them wherever they are. Lord, we ask that you enter the hearts and minds of all who call themselves or consider themselves to be leaders. Help them to realize that they are dealing with and making decisions regarding people in their lives and not just abstract ideas. Please dearly care for all those involved in wars and natural disasters that have been occurring so often lately. Please help those who are directly involved and those offering help in only the ways that you can. We thank you too, Lord, for celebrations, for births, birthdays, anniversaries, and just special occasions when we get together. We thank you for allowing us to have joy and happiness in our lives. And we also ask, Lord, that you watch over the young woman in our congregation who is making one of the major adult decisions in her life. As Saturday, she becomes part of another family and starts a whole new way of life, leaving her parents and creating her own immediate family. Watch over the DeYoung and Smiths as this union becomes a wonderful, God-blessed thing. And we ask that you hear one more plea as we pray aloud and together the prayer that was taught to us by Jesus that rests in our hearts and in our minds in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we come to the time where we acknowledge the gifts. And there are so many gifts that we can offer. We can give of our time, our talent, and our prayers. And there are so many several ways to present these gifts. Join a committee. Do volunteer work. Offer up prayers for others. These are just some examples of what you can and should do. If you wish to give in a more tangible way, there are ways through the internet. And currently right here, the ushers will come forward and down the aisles. Please remember that all these gifts were God's to begin with, and they're just on loan. And the gifts that you give will hopefully, and we'll try our best, to benefit mankind with. And if we join together in the prayer of dedication, Creator, we present these gifts of time, talent, and treasure in prayer. May you be able to multiply them and make their use beneficial to all age. Amen. So since I think you have forgiven me, could we go back to hymn 560? And I hope you're with me here, Sue. 560, I love to tell the story.
Okay. Are we singing the whole hymn? Are we singing Blessed Be the Time?
We will. But
first.
Please. Thank you for understanding.
Thank you.
of our time together, may you be open to looking for stories and new meanings in all that happens around you. May you take time to listen to others, and most of all, have the courage to listen to other stories and the faith and strength to tell your story. May God bless us and keep us close. May he look down upon us and smile. And may God lift us up his arms when it's needed and give us peace. Give us everlasting peace. And to finish this story, a hymn I really, really love, but let's just do the first verse. Blessed be the tithe.
Blessed be the tithe that binds in hearts and Christian love, the fellowship.
Amen. Thank you for allowing me the time, and thank you for being here. Yours, right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I look, she's sitting down, it's kind of crabby.